Just a very brief comment on this passage from the letter to Timothy. Paul did not write this. No Pauline scholar believed that the pastoral letters, the letters to Timothy and Titus, were written by Paul, but rather by somebody else. And there's a subtle shift in theology here, too, that is anything but Pauline. Namely, I'm working for a reward, and God's going to give it to me because I'm nice. That's not Pauline at all. I'm thinking it's not Pauline at all. Salvation is always a matter of a gift, of grace. That's Pauline. But Father Luther picked up with both hands and beat a lot of us around the head with. So you have to keep your head tightly screwed on when you read this stuff or hear it. But I want to try to address this familiar passage from Luke. Again, Luke's audience was a very sophisticated one. How do we know that? Well, for a variety of reasons. His Greek is very high class. And if you read the introduction to both the book of Acts and his gospel, volume 1 and volume 2, they all start with this very formal, typically classic introduction to it. As I said, Theophilus, in my last book, you know, where I let all that, blah, 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 so on and so on. So it's important because the powerful, the good people, don't turn out looking so good in Luke. They don't. And certainly the wealthy are excoriated to an extent that we don't find any place else in the New Testament. So Luke knew the people, whoever wrote this thing, we don't know, certainly knew the people to whom this was being addressed and tailored this message to their need, their particular needs. You know, you guys forget the poor. They don't exist for you. And in this case, as in all cases in these parables, it's a question of identity. Who's who? So the Pharisee, the doctor of the law, talks about identity. And a second point I should have mentioned. Identity is always relational. I mean, this comes as a harsh news to most of us North American people say, no, I'm a self-made person. I don't depend on anybody, by God. That's all rubbish. We come out of the womb in relationship. We've been in our mother's womb for 9 months in one shape or other. And we certainly don't just get flopped out on a table and then everybody walks away. No, if you don't have time to clean me up, cut the umbilicus, do all this stuff, nurse me, because human beings require more nurture than any other animal species on the planet. So, to answer the question, who am I? There's a countercultural answer, however, which is the only right one. I am to whom I am related and the way in which I am related. See, a glaring example of this is Donald Trump. Donald Trump was born with $1 million in his mouth and never was far out of it. Out of the $1 million lodging that he has. Why? Because his father was a big deal. His father didn't pay too much attention to him. He was a pain in the neck to most people, so he got shipped off to a military school. And this is just weaving a web of different connections, hoping that the connection that he would make in military school would turn him into a reasonably decent human being. Didn't work, of course, but there you are. All of us, everybody on this planet, if asked, who are you really? must answer, if they're all aware of themselves, I am the person to whom I am related and the way in which I am related. So on that basis, we can analyze these two prayers. The Pharisees were the pious ones. The very word Pharisee means set apart, the pious. To whom is he relating? A God of law. I'm following the law. Diligent. I am a really nice guy because I don't break the law. And that's the extent of his self-knowledge and self-identity. You know? He didn't go beyond that. Yet he's related to the tax collector. This is an early form of the mafia. They're well known as crooks because they skimmed all the time when they're collecting taxes. They were notorious as the criminal class. But then we have to ask, to whom does he relate in his prayer? Certainly not the God of laws. For the God whom he believes loves him and to whom he has been unfaithful. The God of laws just vanishes, you know, just fades from sight, as that God should. Because that was never the God of the Hebrew Bible, much less of the New Testament, certainly not the God of Jesus, which should be eminently clear. So, relating to that God and the self-understanding that derives from that relationship leads one man to say, I am a really swell fellow. I am very nice, you know. I'm not a slob like all these other piggy people around me, you know. And then the other guy, no. That's not the way it plays. If I know the real God and I know myself out of that relationship, then the only honest thing I can say is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because that's the identity. That's the identity of all of us. I will never forget the night that Francis ascended the throne of Peter. God, what terrible language. But he came out in his little white dress, no red velvet stole with all kinds of gold embroidery. First thing he said, pray for me. I am a sinner. How many popes have done that? None in my time. Now, is this showing off? Because some critics say, oh, this is mock humility. Oh, Frank, stop putting it on, you know. That's lathering it too thick, you know, for the plebs. No! I think this man says what he means and means what he says. The evidence seems to me overwhelming. And that was his first response, his first self-presentation to that mass of people in Vatican Palazzo. So, where does that leave us? Kind of betwixt and between, I think. I don't get up in the morning and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a real poophead and son of a gun and useless and a rotter. But all that is true. It's not part of my self-identity, but I know it ought to be. I know that the more intimate I become with God, even after all these many, many years, many, many hours of prayer, I'm still not converted. Not really. And there's warrant for that. I told this story several times, but it's still, I've never forgotten it. I was making a retreat at Mount Savior Abbey in Elmira, New York. And there were just a few of us, so we ate with all the monks. It happened to be the abbot's birthday. So, sure enough, da-da-da-da-da, they drag out the birthday cake, about the candle, da-da-da, to sing happy birthday to you. And then he blew out the candle and said, Father Abbot, what's your wish? What's your wish? I wish to be converted. That's striking in its honesty, its forthrightness. Because, you see, if we all see ourselves and each other as sinners, that radically alters the pattern of our relationship. You can never come out and say, I am a really swell fellow and all these other guys are rubbish. You cannot say that. If you know yourself at all, it's hypocrisy squared, cubed to the max. But we all do it. I just did it about 10 minutes ago in the men's room. So I did my business in the men's room, stuck my hands on those bloody faucets. Nothing happened. I went from one faucet to the other faucet. And the little Chinese guy came out of the stall and said, what's going on here? He said, oh, you have to put your hand further under the... Well, I got a PhD in theology and they never taught me that. That's rubbish. I was joking, of course. But that's rubbish. But that's how close it is to the surface. You know? And I don't think any of us live much deeper than that. At least not in my experience. So what's the upshot of all this stuff? To pray to be converted. Simple as that. That marvelous prayer of Augustine, which begins, Lord Jesus Christ, let me know myself. Let me know you. The corollary reading of Augustine, it's only in knowing you that I can know my really true self, who I really am. Not who the papers or my relatives or students or enemies or friends say who I am, but only you know who I am. To carry that around in one's consciousness 24/7, as they say, is no mean thing.